Welcome to the What's So Smart podcast, powered by the Huntsville-Madison County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Clark Dunn. Huntsville, Alabama is known as a smart place, but really, what's so smart about it? In this podcast, we will talk to the leaders of Huntsville's economic and cultural development to answer that question. From rockets to genomics, from cyber to music, What's So Smart will explore the visionary and data-driven initiatives that make Huntsville so smart. Stay connected with us on all your social media platforms at A Smart Place. You can watch the full conversations on our YouTube channel at Huntsville, Alabama, USA. And be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this episode of the What's So Smart podcast. Hey, everyone. My name is Clark, and I'm with the What's So Smart podcast. Today, I have the opportunity to sit down with Matt Mandela, Huntsville Music Officer, to learn a little bit more about what makes Huntsville such a smart place. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about your background. I know you were originally from the Mobile area, went to school at USA, and then kind of moved all around the Southeast a little bit before you landed here in Huntsville in July of 2022. Talk a little bit about sort of your career path and kind of what you ended up pursuing at USA.
Sure. You know, well, yeah, I grew up in Baldwin County, kind of halfway between Mobile and the Gulf Shores area. Got a small basketball scholarship, actually started at Spring Hill College for a couple years. And then had some knee problems that kind of lent to that kind of going away. So I finished up at South Alabama, and I was in bands and kind of pursuing some music from a performance level. And, you know, I was one of these people that in college really had no idea still what I wanted to do. Like, kind of leaned toward business, leaned toward marketing, but I was just really passionate about music and had some success with kind of like a couple local bands there. And then after graduation, just up and decided to move to Charlotte, North Carolina, kind of on a whim, because I knew I wasn't ready for Nashville or Austin yet and just kind of wanted to go to a bigger city. And so jumped into the Charlotte music scene for a couple of years, and then moved back to Fairhope to kind of get my album together and kind of make the trek to pick either like Nashville or Austin as a performance career. Moved to Austin, and my probably first week there, like playing some open mics and kind of just like meeting some other people, realized really quick that I did not have the talent to really pursue a performance career. And so I did an immediate pivot and knew I wanted to do music. And so kind of like looked into the behind the scenes offstage aspect of the music industry and got lucky enough to land a seasonal position at South by Southwest, a big conference down there. Wow. And from there, you know, that led to getting offered to GM a cool venue in town called The Parish, which is about a 450 cap. From there, jumped on to the largest volume promoter in Texas called Transmission Entertainment. Whew. We produced a festival called Fun 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 Fest that we grew from a one-day 1,000-person event to a three-day 18,000-person-per-day festival. Wow. Ran a bunch of cool venues with that promoter, like Mohawk. There was one called Red 7, and they actually own The Parish now. And then from there, like, went and worked for a company called Do Stuff Media for about 5 years and doing business development there. They were a agency kind of hiding behind a calendar website in about 20 or 30 different markets, and did that for about 5 years. I'm a director of business development there. And then all of a sudden I got a message on Facebook of a friend that their friend was the new CMO at Graceland looking to kind of build their team. And at the time I kind of like reached out to see if they needed any help from Austin, but
instead you moved there and worked at Graceland.
Yeah. They were like, you know, we'd love for you to work with us, but you have to move to Memphis. So I was like, you know what, how many times do you get to work at Graceland?
Yeah. So how long were you in Austin for?
About 11 years.
Wow. So Austin was home for a while.
Yes,
yeah, definitely. And then you moved to Graceland. How long were you at Graceland prior to coming to Huntsville?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously, growing up in the Mobile area, you probably knew a little bit about Huntsville. What was your sort of your understanding and your perspective on the Huntsville as a whole? And then when you moved here to Huntsville, did that meet expectations or exceed expectations?
So last time I had been to Huntsville before my interview was 20 years ago in college. One of my basketball teammates got married here. You know, our whole team came up here. It was a Saturday wedding that got down at about 6 or 7. I remember we all went out to go try have a good time, and there was nothing to do, so we could not get back to Mobile fast enough. Honestly, you know, had seen Huntsville kind of popping up on some different lists and things like that, but in my mind, the reputation was great schools, great place to live a family, not much to really do there, because that was a reputation about 20 years ago.
For sure.
And I mean, that script got completely flipped after the first interview, and we got here and kind of started diving in, and we fell in love with it right away. And even by the second interview, we were driving here, even saying, you know, even if you don't get this job, we still want to move here.
Wow.
And yeah, the community is so great. Still in the honeymoon phase, been here about two years now, and just love Huntsville. Yeah.
So beyond, I mean, obviously your job is what brought you here, and I mean, your job is what you do. Majority of your life, and you're working, and so the job is a great way to get here. But beyond just your job, what other elements of the Huntsville community really kind of tied you down and kind of said, hey, even if I don't get this job, I really like this community?
Well, have a soon-to-be four-year-old. And so, you know, you look at schools, you look at community, and just kind of like you plan for where you want to raise your family. Yeah. So it was obviously like that was kind of a more important decision than like my personal decision. And just really could not get our heads around just how great it just everything pointed in the right direction in terms of like this is where we should be raising our children. The people were just like so nice. The job kind of felt like it was hand carved for my resume. Yeah. That's what kind of like drew me to it. I was super happy at Graceland, and it was one of these things where like somebody posted the job like on my Facebook timeline, and I checked out the website, and then you know how some ads are targeted to where like if you go to a website, every time you go on social media, you see an ad or a story pop up. So the music officer position was haunting me every time I went on Facebook. So, you know, but it just like something just seemed so perfect for the way like the job role was to fit in with my experience. And so threw in the application and got lucky enough a few months later to get the offer, and easiest decision we've ever made.
Yeah. So talk a little. So obviously, like my understanding is that like, Huntsville is the first community in the country to lead a music audit. It's a very engineering thing for an engineering town to do like a music audit. What's so smart about this fostering of this ecosystem in this community, and how are you implementing it on a day-to-day basis or on a yearly basis?
Interesting. So start with the first. Okay, one question at a time. What was the first question?
Yeah. So I mean, so how do you go about creating this music audit? Like from like this being something that's it's a unique thing. It's not something that many like no one else in the country has done.
Absolutely.
How do you go about making this happen?
And that's interesting. So the audit actually happened before I got here.
Okay.
And the audit actually, the findings of the audit, one of the recommendations was to create a music office and a music officer.
Okay.
So thank you to the audit for being here.
Yes.
But, you know, just kind of like, you know, before you build a big building, you know, you kind of have to do soil samples and kind of see what you have there before you make the investment into seeing, you know, instead of kind of just making blind investments. And so basically the audit just was a dive-in process. A company called Sound Diplomacy out of Great Britain is the one who conducted it.
Wow.
They do these a lot overseas. We're their first North American client, which was really awesome.
Yeah. Huntsville, Alabama is the first. That's something you don't see every day.
We love to be first.
we love to be first in a lot of things. So, wow, that is such a unique thing. I mean, like in this that audit obviously is how the music officer position came about. But it also probably helped kind of create this ecosystem too. I mean, where we have everything from these smaller venues to these venues like the Orion. How has this ecosystem continuing to develop now that you are, I guess, going into 2 years here at this position?
Oh, it keeps getting more exciting, you know, because the amphitheater wasn't here before the audit. That was actually a recommendation in the audit. And, you know, the audit was really important for kind of really addressing and like kind of showcasing the ecosystem and kind of showing what we already had here. You know, it's basically just like a big SWOT analysis, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities and threats. And the opportunities and strength for our music office or our music market were just off the charts, like, especially like for one that hasn't really been cultivated and fostered from like a government level or like a widespread basis. So all the signs pointed to like, like the city should dive in and really try to elevate our music culture to be the first city in North America that's taking that like data-driven strategic approach to doing so. And so, you know, and the audit, you know, it's definitely like kind of our daily roadmap. You know, you look at kind of like all the recommendations. Some are recommended like 1 to 2 years out. Some are like 3 to 5. Some are beyond 5. It's definitely a roadmap and a guide. It's not necessarily the Bible, because also the audit was kind of conducted before COVID hit.
Oh, yeah.
The so ideal timeline
kind of puts a wrench in the system at that point.
Oh yeah, like the findings came out like in January 2020. Mm. 2 months later, the world shut down, and any city, their economic landscape changed after COVID. And so, but for the most part, you know, we follow it pretty much to the T with like a couple small tweaks. But that's just a good, just kind of overarching comprehensive strategy that like helps the music office kind of pick and choose its initiatives around.
How important do you think is that Huntsville, with its proximity to some of these other bigger cities, how important do you think it is that the ecosystem in Huntsville is being developed? Because it helps also support these cities like Nashville that has a huge music scene, or Atlanta. Do you think that was that kind of played a part in this music audit being even a thing and an opportunity for Huntsville?
Well, it's interesting you brought up our kind of geographic location, because that's a huge opportunity, but it's also kind of a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, like we are right in the middle of Atlanta, Nashville, yeah. Memphis, and Birmingham. Those are historically a lot larger music economies than mm-hmm. ours, to where we're kind of approaching this from a, kind of like put the building blocks in place to create our own identity, to be in the same conversation as those cities when you're talking about a music culture. Yeah. And because of that proximity, it is especially important for us to focus on like developing the local ecosystem as well. Like, you know, building the venues that can facilitate the best performers in the world, like the Orion and the VBC, are awesome. But for us to really kind of compete with that homegrown talent, yeah. there's so much in this region. It's a lot cheaper to live here than Atlanta yep. and Nashville.
Sure.
And to be able to attract musicians that want to like make their homesteads here and really, really dive in and live here. Yeah. It's a big challenge, but also a big opportunity.
For sure. And for I think having those stepping stones, that we have those venues mm-hmm. that it's those dive bars, it's the Voodoo, it's the Jefferson Street, it's the Sammy T's, it's the places that you can get your start. You can begin playing there. And you hear these stories of these older venues here in town that had that impact at mm-hmm. one point, you know, places like Tip Top that these bands came through that are these world-class bands. And now we're able to kind of refoster that sense of, hey, music is a huge part of our community and we're in it for the long road. It's not something that we want to see happen overnight. It's something that we're willing to kind of be there for the longevity of this.
Absolutely. And it's definitely a rising tide lifts all boats approach where, you know, even these like large acts that come into town, like they're bringing the industry with them. You know, mm-hmm. they have managers, agents, and staffs around them that also working like yeah. with other agents and things. So with every large act we're bringing in town, that's like more of a showcase for our local artists yeah. as well. You know, we saw some of the guys from Widespread Panic actually sit in an open mic at Voodoo Lounge while they were here.
That's crazy.
So there's cool kind of things yeah. like that. So, I mean, those guys that were at Voodoo that night are on Widespread Panic's management's radar because wow. of like that kind of connection. And so, so even though, you know, it's not a local artist headlining at the Orion Amphitheater, doesn't mean that the regional and touring headliners coming into the Orion and the VBC aren't creating opportunities for the locals just to yeah. kind of get the industry spotlighted here. And we've seen some artists get signed this year, which is awesome. And so, yeah, it's just a really exciting time for music in Huntsville in general. And then a big part of the ecosystem is, of course, music education. You know, we want to have like our programs on par with everything from elementary education to the like university level.
Okay.
That's a huge part of the ecosystem. Aside from just the kind of like fun commercial yeah. rock concerts that we all like going to.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a fun landscape for yeah. sure.
What are some of the maybe the direct initiatives that y'all are doing in the educational element to kind of have that? Because like obviously we you can't just start, you know, with a college student that's coming here to kind of get into this ecosystem. It has to be something that you nurture before then. How are some of the ways in which the music office is being able to accomplish that or trying to accomplish that?
Well, it's a lot of conversations with university leaders mm-hmm. and the schools. You know, luckily we have some amazing music educators yeah. that are a lot smarter than I am. And so it's just being in conversation, basically like asking what they need. And when there are moments to like really just try to elevate and make sure everybody's aware of what's happening. Like when the A&M band did the Macy's Thanksgiving Day mm-hmm. parade this year, I mean, that was such an amazing moment, not only on that campus, but for the community as a whole,
yeah.
You know, to be at home on Thanksgiving, turn on the TV and like the first band marching in that yeah. parade is Alabama A&M. And so really just kind of, you know, having and doing what we can to kind of showcase those yeah. efforts, and just being in a lot of conversations, just saying, hey, like, what do y'all need, mm-hmm. That we can like help you? Cause yeah. you know, it's kind of tricky too. You don't want to like dive in too much to like,
for
you
sure.
know, like I'm the last one who's going to tell teachers how to teach.
Yeah. It's finding that nice balance for sure.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, being that support system and that place to support them when they need it. And being able to have the tools that kind of help them further their in-classroom activities.
Exactly. And so one thing that kind of came of that was, you know, they always need instruments. Like all the schools always need instruments. And so September is Huntsville Music Month. And so one aspect of Huntsville Music Month is we do a month-long school instrument drive where you can drop off instruments in any condition at a variety of locations. And then those go directly to the school band programs. Mm.
So, I mean, obviously Huntsville was the first to do this thing, to do the music audit. Have you seen since that moment that these other cities are now starting to reach out to Huntsville to say, how did you go about this? Or kind of now Huntsville's being that leader to kind of help facilitate this across the country.
Yeah, and it's been amazing. I mean, not a week goes by to where we don't get contacted by somebody from another city, just wanting to like set up a call and kind of pick our brains about what we're doing. Because I think too, you know, back in 2022, when we launched the music office, it was kind of like, hey, here's what we're going to do. But now that we're 2 years in, you know, we have some tangible programs, tangible initiatives, and, you know, it's working.
Yeah.
And so we're that those phone calls are even picking up even more rapidly. I think the coolest thing is the state of Tennessee has started a music office and their economic development arm. And so there's other cities and other states that are like looking into launching music offices as well. And just being in contact with like the Texas Music Office. We kind of have a music office kind of little buddy system. We hosted the Music Cities Convention here, and a lot of the government officials in the music realm in North America and beyond were here in Huntsville for 3 days, just kind of having conversations. And so it's nice to see kind of you know, in a role like mine, where you're really not competitive in the music industry, which is amazing after being in the music industry for 15 years and a very competitive and cutthroat industry at times, to having a role where, I mean, it serves me best to be everybody's friend because we're a support kind of like office. And that's just been like a breath of fresh air to kind of like have music conversations to where, you know, you're not the enemy of everybody. You're like friendly, whether it's like state, cities, or especially locals.
Yeah. And I think the distinction recently too, with Orion becoming that Billboard top venue in this area, I think that, you know, puts us on the map too, as far as just a community that Huntsville is that, hey, we have this venue and it's in our backyard.
There's whole Eastern region of the United States.
Yeah. And that's and it's one of those things that's like, I think, like, obviously, it's such a new, the Orion's such a new thing for the community, but it is still such an amazing thing when I go there and think, this is something that I can Uber to. This is like in my backyard. This is something that is in my community. It's in my city. And to think back, even like, even for you to think back when you first visited Huntsville 20 years ago, and you're like, nothing's cool about this city. The city doesn't have what I want. Let's get back to Mobile, to now being like, wow, the city has a lot and we're being recognized for it.
And I remember seeing the initial video of like there was like this long kind of probably like 8 or 9 minute video with like the mayor and different people, kind of personalities involved with the Orion, just explaining the vision of it. And I remember seeing that video and seeing it going like, oh, wow, that looks awesome. There's no way they're going to ever build that in Huntsville. And then just kind of like walked away. And then like years later, here we are.
From your perspective, what makes Huntsville such a smart place?
You know, I think it all starts with just like the people. You know, it's a community that really obviously like puts education at a premium. And there are just really, really smart people here. It is like, I like to say, like my kind of zinger when I go to speak at like public things is like, I'm always the tallest person in the room, but never the smartest in Huntsville. And I think that when you have a community that really, really values education inside the household, that that trickles out to the rest of the community as well.
So, I mean, you've been here since since 2022. Is there a unique experience that you can think of from your time being here so far, either an interaction you had with somebody or a moment that solidified, you know, this Huntsville community for you?
Well, there's two. One is, and one kind of happens, it seems like every weekend there's moments where, you know, we'll just like take our little girl out somewhere, like, you know, where there's usually like a restaurant where like a big green space where can just run around. Every weekend she makes new friends and it's like older kids too, like 9, 10 year olds will be running around playing. They'll like come pick her up and it's kind of like a built-in babysitter system almost. Just how sweet the kids are to each other here is kind of like just a special thing that kind of like happens all the time. And then on the music side, I was actually at a chamber luncheon and had an amazing conversation just talking about, like, you know, music and, you know, just personal kind of stuff, like the stuff we like. And then really nice guy. And he's like, oh, well, nice to meet you. And he gave me his card and I looked at it. And he was the head of astrophysics at NASA.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like, wow, I was just talking to one of the smartest people in the world.
Yeah, that's such a unique thing, I think, that Huntsville is still able to accomplish as a city that's growing at the rate we are, is that it's still a close community.
Yeah.
There's like that one degree of separation where you can go out and you can still run into people you know and people that you recognize and people that you work with or whatever that might be. But you can also go downtown. And I've been downtown with my wife where it's like, we'll look around and go, I don't think I know anybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, those are the moments like, wow, the city is growing like crazy.
Yeah.
And so, but I thank you for taking the last little bit to talk a little bit more about the work you do at the Huntsville Music Office and the impact that it'll have in the Huntsville community for years. Anything that you've mentioned, we'll have links to all that in the episode notes, but I thank you for taking the time.
Hey, thank you. This is great.
Yeah.
Have me again.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the What's So Smart podcast. Stay connected with us on all your social media platforms at A Smart Place. You can watch the full conversations on our YouTube channel at Huntsville, Alabama, USA, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed hearing more about what makes Huntsville so smart.